And turn to John chapter 15. We were in John chapter 15 last week. Two verses, but we're going to expand this tonight. Verses 1 through 11. And I want to pick up on what we were talking about last week and expound upon that as well. Learning to abide. We talked about how important it is to abide, to stay. That's what the word neno means. It means to come and stay and not leave. So, just like any other thing, we have to learn to do stuff. And I still remember what, and I honestly, I'm not that great at it yet. But I still remember the very first time I decided I would like to play the guitar. And I knew a friend of mine who had a guitar, and he could, you know, play a few chords. And so I went over to his house, and he showed me a couple of chords, and I couldn't play them worth a flip. And it was almost like, I don't think I can ever do this. And I kept trying. I wasn't very good. But when I went off to college at Baylor, my freshman year, just so happens a guy lived right down the hall from me. Heard late at night, I could hear him playing his guitar. And I took my guitar to school with me, but I never really got it out. It stayed underneath my bed along with a lot of other stuff. Stuff, you know, have much room in the dormitory. But I heard him playing his guitar, and so I went down, knocked on his door, he told me to come in, and I sat down and just started watching him play. And then I went and got my guitar, and I'd sit there and try to watch what he was doing, and I tried to mimic him, and what he was playing and what I was playing was totally different. But anyway, I kept trying, you know, and long story short, he started kind of teaching me how to do some things on the guitar, and the more I did it, the better it felt, and finally, my fingers didn't hurt anymore, and I started realizing that I could do that. I could, you know, I could actually play a guitar. Again, like I said, I'm not that great, but it was sure a helpful thing when I started in youth ministry and working with teenagers, and I just kept with it. So this guitar that I play is a guitar that was given to me because my guitar that I bought with my money that I worked for in the summer was stolen out of my apartment along with a bunch of other things one night. And I was already on staff at a church and I really needed a guitar. And the pastor of the church at the time, he bought and sold guitars as a hobby. That's what he did. And he did that and bought and sold cars as a hobby. He had two hobbies. That's what he did. And I'm telling a long story, but it's got a point to it. One day I was sitting in my office and kind of preparing for a Bible study I was going to be doing with the teenagers that night. And he came in with a guitar case. And he says, I've got a guitar in here. Maybe you'd like to see if you could play it. You know, use it. I'll let you use it for youth. And so I opened it up, and it was a Gibson, which is my favorite kind of guitar. And he says, let me tell you a little bit about this guitar. It's a Gibson Gibson Heritage. It was made in 1976 as a bicentennial model, and they only made 1,976 of them. So it'll be a collector's item. And he said, I want you to use it. Not only do I want you to use it, I want you to have it. And he gave it to me. And ever since then, I've been playing this guitar. And long story short, getting back to where we are tonight, the more you abide in doing something, the better you'll get with it or at least feel comfortable with it. In a way, that's where our spiritual life ought to be. living in the presence of Christ all the time. Abiding in Christ. And we hear that word thrown around sometimes, but we're going to take a look at it tonight and see what it really means from Scripture. Okay, so John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me," there's that word, abide, "and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Father, I come to you tonight again just asking that you'll speak to us by your word. I pray your Holy Spirit will bring it alive to us all. Lord, we need to hear from you. Every single day we need to hear from you. All day long we need to hear from you. We need to be in your presence. And I pray, Father, you will speak to us tonight as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your outlines, you can follow along. I want you to see, first of all, in the first three verses, the personality of the true vine. Now, who's the true vine? Jesus, right? The personality of the true vine is it's Jesus. Greek term here of the vine of the true vine is alethes, which means real, genuine, not counterfeit or substantive. Now, in other words, Jesus says, "I'm the true vine. I'm the real deal. There's nobody else like me." It's the same word Jesus used in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, "If anyone will come to me," what does it say? "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He alone is the true source of everlasting abundant life. He is the vine, the true vine. He's the genuine vine. And he's the gardener of the true vine. That's the Father. The Scripture tells us the second part of that. My Father is the gardener. And what he does is he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So that's what a gardener does. He takes care of the vines. He doesn't have to take care of the branches so much as long as the vine is a good vine. He protects his own. He takes care of his vine. But he purifies the vine. The Greek term for takes away is aro, which means to lift or to raise. And it says here, in me, those that are in Christ. So here's the picture. The picture is the hanging vines that are on the ground. They're being covered by the dirt of the world. And so he gently lifts them up and he brushes them off and he places them where he wants, up out of the dirt. And then he prunes them to cleanse them and to wash them and purify them. So when you read this passage, it says this in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So that's trimming them. While every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. In other words, God is doing a work in every single part of the vine. And that's including me and you. How does this happen? Well, the way he purifies us is by prayer and by the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, gives us a picture. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. And how did he love the church? He gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the what? With the word. Again, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says it like this, "For the word of God is living, active, It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. He is the gardener of the true vine. That's the personality of the true vine. Secondly, verses 2 through 8 give us then the purpose of what the vine is supposed to be doing. Here's the distinct purpose. In verse 2 it says, He cuts off every branch that does what? Bears no fruit. Well, so the purpose of the vine is what? To bear fruit. And so Jesus in verse 5 tells us He's the vine and we're the branches. So if we'll remain in Him, what will we do? We will bear much fruit. It's not to look good. The purpose is not to look good, to smell good, to act good, but it's to bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit and reaching others. Both types of fruit. Spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And also the fruit of bringing other people to Jesus. That's our distinct purpose as well. And we have a distinguished purpose. Jesus said in verse 8, I do this to what? Bring, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's to my Father's glory. Everything should be to bring God glory. Do you believe that? Everything we do as Christians should be to bring God glory. So the question we have to ask ourselves in a regular daily life is, what I'm doing now bringing God glory? You might say, well, wait a minute. Working at my job, is that going to bring God glory? It can. Certainly can. But it depends on how you work at your job. And how you relate with your family. Does that bring God glory? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But we are to bring God glory because He deserves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So everything we do ought to be to glorify Him. By the way, that's God's will for us, is to bring Him glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, bring Him glory, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we have a distinct purpose and a distinguished purpose, and then we have a delegated purpose. It tells us in verses 4 and 5, if you read it with me, it says this, Remain in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me, do you think he's trying to get a point across here? Something to do with remaining. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't mean he should. It says he will bear much fruit. We've got to be attached to the vine. Now, I think a lot of people feel like they're attached to the vine, but they feel so stretched out that they're just barely hanging on by part of a fingernail. And that's not what he's talking about. We've got to be so connected with Him that nothing could tear us apart. Nothing could pull us away. We must be attached. We must be abiding. We talked about that last week, what abiding is. It means I'm going to stay. I'm not leaving. You can't get rid of me. I'm going to be here. And we must be available. Because there's sometimes that God wants to use us and we're not available. We've checked out, we've done something out, we're not in tune with the Spirit of God. And so He wants to use us, but we're not connected. It reminds me sometimes of when I'm online trying to do some work and all of a sudden I'm not getting a response. And the internet's down. Frustrating, isn't it? because you're trying to do something, you can't do it. There's no connection. In the same way, if we're not connected with Him and we're not staying connected with Him, He can't use us like He wants to. The personality of the vine is the true vine. The purpose of the vine has a purpose to bear fruit. Here's the promise of the true vine. Verses 7 through 11. Again, I want to read it again. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that means I can get anything I want. That's not what it says. It's all conditional on the first part of the verse. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, guess what you're going to want? You're going to want what God wants. He says, so you can ask for that because it's going to happen. Change your wanter. That's right. You will have an unhindered prayer life. In fact, just a chapter before, a few verses in that chapter, right across the page probably from where you are in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may what? Bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Again, how is that possible? It's possible because you're in Him. It's not taking the name of Jesus and trying to use it as a magic wand and say, Jesus, you have to give me this. No. What it's saying is I'm going to stay in you, and when I'm in you, I'm going to know what you want me to do. I'm going to ask for the right things because I know where you're going. I know where you're headed. I know what you need. When we are abiding in Him, it's now all about Him and what He wants, not what we want. See, selfishness begins to disappear, and it's replaced with selflessness. Wow, what a difference that would make in all of our lives, wouldn't it? If self really started to die, and we began to really, truly live in Him, wouldn't that make a huge difference? When we get on the same page as God, we begin to experience the power of who He is and what He can do as sovereign God. You see, I think we limit God so much because our connection is so weak. God wants to use us. He wants to surge His power through us. But we're just barely connected. We're not abiding in Him. It's an unhindered prayer life. It's an unending love. Look at what verse 9 says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. This love is the total unconditional love of God. The Greek term agapeo means there's no conditions and total acceptance. It's not if or because. It's just I love you, period. I want you to live and dwell and abide in that kind of love. What would that you think that would change us and change the people around us if we truly abided in God like that? I believe it would. And I believe it's what God has intended for us. An unending love and an uncommon joy. Look at verse 11. I told you this so that your joy may be my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Complete. The Greek term for joy is chara, divine joy. It originates from Him alone. It's not joy that you get if you score a certain amount of points in a game. It's not that kind of joy. It's joy that comes directly from God Himself. It's not dependent on any circumstance at all. See, I think a lot of times we get joy and happiness mixed up. We're happy one moment and then we're sad the next. But joy is consistent because it's not based on anything that changes. It's based on the One who never changes. It's a product of our faith in Him. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, folks. Everything about abiding in Christ resonates with where we ought to be as Christians. Because if we say we love God, and then we don't stay in Him, and we don't abide in Him, and we don't live in Him, and we don't grow in Him, and we don't produce fruit through Him, then what we say and what we do are two different things. And the world has seen enough of that. It's called hypocrite. It's saying one thing but doing something else. And people are very, very in tune when they see something like that. What they're looking for is something that's real. And the real love of God can only flow through real people who are willing to stay connected to Him, no matter what the cost is. Father, I ask You to help us do that because this is not an easy task. It should be easy because every time we do it, You bless us abundantly. You use us. We see fruit produced. But we still have that place in us of selfishness that tends to crop up and tends to take over sometimes. And Father, it just separates us from Your presence. Not eternally. But Father, it's just a disconnect that You can't use. Lord, I just pray somehow You get to me. Get it in my mind. Get it in my heart. That there's no better place to be but in Your presence. Living and dwelling in You, connected, ready to speak anything that You would say through me. Father, I desire that so much in my life. And I pray, Lord, that You'll help me do that. Help us all do that. Because there's people all around us that are looking to see what true Christianity is all about. And it's not a religion, and it's not keeping certain things and doing certain things. It really is all based on this very one thing, abiding in Christ. Lord, help us. Help me. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.